I want you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter 39. I preached a sermon of this nature when I was just a very, very young man, but it has been a truth that I've just carried with me then for many, many years. Tonight I'll share it with you. Genesis chapter 39, find verse number 7. Genesis 39, verse number 7, and then stand with me if you will, please. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently, starting at Genesis 39, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and got him out." If you'll look back at me, the title of the sermon is this: Do Not Resist Sin. Now, I could add to that title, and we could call it, Do Not Resist Sin, Avoid It. Do not resist sin, avoid it. I'm going to retell this story. I'm going to teach you something about making the Christian life a little more successful and a little easier if you'll listen to me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, take the sermon tonight, and might we apply it to our lives as individuals. May we not examine someone else, but examine ourselves. Tonight, give me the attention of the people. Help us to realize that You have given us the Scripture to help us, that we might live the Scripture. There's teaching here, Father, that will make the Christian life easier. There's teaching here that will make us more successful. Now, help everyone to concentrate. Help them to be for the teaching. Lord, with our attitude, if it's right and if it's positive, we're wanting to grow and learn and do better, it sure makes the sermon more important to us and personal for our own success. Holy Spirit of God, help us tonight to leave here on the right path. Leave here tonight a little more protected, even against ourselves, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Let me tell you a story here. I'll bring you up to date on this passage that I just read from Genesis 39. A young man by the name of Joseph was one of many, many brothers. And the Bible says he was his father's well-beloved son, maybe his favorite son, if you will. Joseph had some brothers, though, and his brothers were jealous of him. And they plotted to figure out a way to kill him. Joseph's oldest brother, his name was Reuben. Reuben convinced the other brothers that they ought to spare Joseph's life. So in essence, because Joseph was the favorite, the brothers said, well, we'll get him, we'll kill him and get rid of him. The oldest brother named Reuben said, you guys, that can't be. That's not the right thing to do. So they suggested what they would do is they would catch Joseph. They're going to throw him in a pit. They're going to take his garment from him. They're going to get some animal blood and put it on his coat, take it back to Dad, and say, Dad, an animal got Joseph and killed him in the field, and all we could find was his bloody coat. Then they were going to take Joseph and sell him. They were going to sell him into Egyptian slavery, get a little money out of him, have him out of their hair, out of their area, out of the country, and they were going to get rid of him. Well, and they tricked Joseph's father into believing that Joseph had been killed by an animal. He's got a bloody jacket, and Joseph is gone, and the brothers all covet together that that's what we're going to tell Dad. Well, Joseph was then taken into captivity. He became a slave. There's a lot that goes into the story, but what ends up happening is Joseph, as a slave, is purchased by a man by the name of Potiphar. And Joseph, and Potiphar is an officer, that works under Pharaoh. It had been like the king or the dictator of the country. And this man by the name of Potiphar now has Joseph, this slave. He's a young man. I'm going to guess he's out of his teenage years. If he's a teenager, he's an older teenager. But I think we'd consider him a young adult man. Joseph works very, very hard as a slave. And as a result, Potiphar, the man that now owns him, Potiphar notices how hard of a worker Joseph is and how trustworthy he is. And Potiphar, he picked Joseph and said, I'm going to take Joseph to my house, and I'm going to have him work around the house. He's very capable, he's smart, and he's going to work around my house. Now, that actually brings us to the scripture that we just read a moment ago, and it brings us up to date on the story that we just read. Now, what happens here is, now what begins to happen is that Joseph is now working in Potiphar's home, and Potiphar's wife is misbehaving. Potiphar's wife is doing wrong things. She begins to make advances toward Joseph. And the Bible says day after day, she makes advances. She offers herself to him. And we're talking about in a sexually sinful way. She throws herself out there to Joseph. And the Bible says day after day, she offers herself to him. And obviously, nothing happens. And then we find out one day, she throws herself at him. And I mean, she actually grabs him. And when she grabs him, and look right at me, when she grabs him, he tears himself away and he flees. He gets out. Now, she hangs on to his garment, and boy, that thing turns into a mess for him. And what happens is, when he turned her down, she ends up saying, well, Joseph tried to come after me and tried to rape me and everything else, and he ends up in a big mess over the whole thing. Now, I'm excited that what happened here is when she makes that advance toward Joseph that day and grabs his garment, and I mean, Joseph is this close to being in I believe, sexual trouble, he resisted. He resisted. But I want you to look at Genesis 39, verse 11 again, if you're still there. But I want to show you something. He resisted the sin, but I happen to believe he could have done one better. He could have avoided the situation so he did not have to resist the temptation. In verse 11 it says, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house therewith. Now, that's a unique thing. You understand, Joseph goes into that house. The only person there is Potiphar's wife. She is loose. In modern day vernacular, she's a bit sleazy. And the Bible even says none of the men of the house were there. And it's pointing out to us, Joseph went in when nobody was there but her. And next thing you know, we've got a problem. Now, he resisted. When she again threw herself at him, he resisted. But I happen to believe he didn't avoid a very bad situation. Probably, she was probably a gorgeous woman. You say, why would you say that? Because he was one of the officers in Pharaoh's army, and back then, the more power you had, the more beautiful the women that were attracted to you. Now, here's the thing I want to explain to you. Joseph knew that she was out to get him. The Bible, if you heard what it said day by day, she was offering herself to him. Joseph knew that she was watching for her chance to seduce him. Joseph knew that she would make him an offer because she had before. Joseph knew that she was going to tempt him. Now, I'm not mad at Joseph. I'm pleased that Joseph resisted, but I'm going to tell you something. He sure put himself in a very volatile and dangerous situation. I had a preacher say to me once, he said, well, look, Joseph was a slave. He had to do what he was told, and if he was told he had to go to work in that house, he had to. Can I tell you something? Sometimes it's worth getting punished to do the right thing and to avoid a bad situation. He could have said, I'm not going in that house with that woman because she's out to get me and there's nobody else in that house right now, and I am going to be a sitting duck in that house. I think Joseph, and I think if Joseph were alive today, he'd say, you know, I kind of wish I wouldn't have gone in there that day. I knew what she was up to. Now, you all know about hindsight and foresight. Again, I'm not mad at Joseph, but I am telling you, he could have handled that a little better. He did resist her offer. I wish he wouldn't have had to. And he did know that she was out to get him. I mean, the Bible makes that clear day by day. Now, did you know the devil wants you? You know he's watching you? He wants to make you an offer. He wants to tempt you. Joseph resisted the sin, but he did not avoid the opportunity. He did not avoid sin's territory. See, had he been avoiding, he wouldn't have gone in that house when she was all alone. And if you're reading the scripture as it's written, it's very clear. He went in, there was nobody there but her, and he now set himself up for a virtual catastrophe. He resisted the sin, but he could have avoided the sin and not come face to face with it. He said no to sin, but he placed himself in a situation that almost destroyed him. Now let me tell you something. You will not have to resist the committing of sin if you will avoid sin's territory. Did you know it's easier to avoid sin than to escape its temptation? Let me give you some illustrations that will help you. You know, in Bible times, and even today, there is a disease that's called leprosy. This disease called leprosy, it's what causes your body parts, your skin, your flesh, to rot away. And it is extremely contagious. Have you ever heard the old saying, you look at somebody and say, maybe you ladies, you look at a man and he's just ugly as he could be, and you say, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Well, there, that wording has an origin. When people had leprosy and they would come into town, they had open markets in Bible day. You ever been down to the market? You know, it right down across from the Stingray Cafe, there's a farmer's market, and it's an open market. And back in Bible days, they didn't have Walmart with a big fancy building and roof and everything. They had open market. People would walk through the street, and they'd go over and look for products. Well, if a leper came into town, and the leper would get close to someone's products, their vegetables or their meat, you sure don't want that near your business. So if you touch the leper, you stand the chance of getting the leper's disease. So they had a pole. It'd be a little bit like this stick that I have here. They had a pole, and it was 10 foot long. And if a leper would start to come near the marketplace, a market owner might stick that pole out and say, leper, stay away. You got to stay away from my business. And that's how they would keep that leper away. They didn't want their food and things contaminated by leprosy and the people that were doing business. Look, if a leper came and hang around the front door of Walmart, you probably wouldn't be going through that door all the time. So they would take that pole and they would keep that leper away. Now let me ask you a question. Now if I said to you, you need to stay away from the leper, and we had a 10-foot pole, and I said to you, you could get leprosy if you get too close to that leper. I wonder how many of you would get a one inch pole. You'd say, stay away, leper. Stay away, leper. No, you'd be going for the 10-foot pole. You say, why? For I want to stay as far away from that fatal disease as I can. That makes sense. I was thinking of the snake, the cobra. Cobra, venomous, poisonous, can kill you with one bite. If I said to you, I have a cobra snake right here, and that snake has a striking ability of 4 foot. 4 foot. And I said to you, if you got any closer than 4 foot, that snake could bite you and kill you. I wonder how many of you would say, well, I'm going to get 4 foot, 1 inch. Give me 4 foot, 1 inch from the snake. You'd say, not me. I'm not going to get 4 foot, 1 inch. Well, why? You'd have a whole inch of safety. Well, why wouldn't you want to use a one-inch pole if the leper doesn't touch you? You say, well, I wonder if he stumbled. All right. How close do you get to things that you shouldn't get close to? Wonder if you stumble while you're up close to that wrong thing. If I told you that in this water there was deadly poison, like strychnine, rat poison. If I said to you, if a human being drinks 10 ounces of strychnine, they die. And I called on you and said, come up and show us how to drink 9 ounces. Hey, that'd be 1 ounce short of death. You wouldn't have to worry. You'd say, Brother Owens, I'm not dumb enough to drink 9 ounces of a 10-ounce glass of strychnine because that'd be too close. And Brother Owens, I wouldn't get 4 foot 1 inch from the cobra snake. And preacher, there's no way I would get me a 1-inch pole to stay away from the leper. Then why in the world is it that you and I will get ourselves as close to sin as we can and hope to walk away saying, I didn't touch it. I didn't do it. See, we're not supposed to be up close and to the point where we're practicing a resistance at the moment. We're to be avoiding that situation. You know what I'd do? If I found out somebody had leprosy, I'd just avoid them. If there were a leper colony, as a preacher, I might try to help them. But I'm just going to tell you, I would not be sending my kids down to play on the playground that's right next door to the leper colony. And we all need to learn that we make a mistake by putting ourselves in a position of resisting the sin. Wouldn't we be better off just avoiding it all together? If there's something that will make your Christian life easier, I'm about to teach it to you tonight. Don't try to resist sin. Avoid sin's territory. You know, let me give you some points, and this thing will come together a little more in our thinking. Let me say, first of all, when you resist sin, instead of avoiding it, others may think you committed it. When you resist it, you're right up against it. Oh, but you didn't do it. Can I tell you something? When you're right there where the sinful action's at, somebody may think you're a participator, not just a spectator. You say, why? Well, you're where the sinful action's taking place. You put yourself in a bad situation. You know that Joseph's boss, Potiphar, thought Joseph was guilty. And his accusation was not true. It was an unfounded accusation. Remember, Potiphar's wife said, he tried to rape me. And Joseph said, I did not. And Potiphar said, you're guilty. Can I tell you why Potiphar thought he was guilty? Because Joseph put himself in a situation where he looked guilty. That's one reason why I say even the lost man said, Joseph, you shouldn't have allowed yourself to be in that position. And he actually, Potiphar says, you're guilty. Now, Joseph probably could have avoided that. He could have avoided that situation. You know, most everybody thought that Joseph was guilty. Now, he wasn't. He had not done wrong. He did not sin. He could have put more distance between him and the wrong. He lost his position because of it. He lost his job because of it. He even lost his reputation to many, many people because of it. Why? Because he placed himself in a position of resistance rather than placing himself in a position of avoiding. You ever heard someone say, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas? Did you know if you play with pigs, you're going to probably smell like a hog or have a curl in your tail? Hey, don't make yourself smell guilty if you're not guilty. Did you know that if you're in a room where somebody's smoking dope and you're not smoking dope, do you know what you're going to smell like when you come out of the room? And I'm saying to you, you put yourself right beside it, right on the threshold of wrong, right on the threshold of that thing that could destroy you. And when you do, you're making it harder on yourself. But This is the best thing for you to hear at this moment is when you resist sin, instead of avoiding it, others may think that you committed it. If you avoid, people don't usually believe you participate. See, if you're an avoider of bad situations, then people are going to say, well, I doubt it. I mean, he's an avoider. If somebody in the church came to me and said, preacher, the other day, I seen George Nofsinger. He had two pierced ears. He had leathers on. Black leather jacket, black leather pants. He had some spike collar on. He was riding a Harley. He'd walk around like this. I saw him. Both you and I would say, no way. No way. That he wouldn't put himself in that type of a situation. You want to know why? His testimony is a testimony of avoiding that kind of behavior. And so his testimony rises up and it defends him. And though someone might make that accusation, we wouldn't believe it because we know he doesn't act like that. He doesn't put himself in that position. Do you realize that everybody that commits the wrong sins usually say they're not guilty? So when you're where you're not supposed to be, oh, you're not doing the bad everybody else there is doing maybe, but you're where you're not supposed to be with people you're not supposed to be with that are doing wrong things. And you say, I didn't do anything wrong. If we went around the room and asked everybody there if they did anything wrong, you know what they would say too? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. You know what? You just put yourself in a situation where everybody that's doing bad is probably going to lie about it and say they didn't do it. But wait, you say, preacher, I really didn't do it. Then why did you put yourself in a situation where your integrity could be questioned? Now, I don't think you and I ought to 100% not believe someone. Somebody can be in a bad situation and not do a bad thing, but you're not real smart. You've set yourself up to make yourself look guilty, even though you're innocent. Live in such a way that you're nowhere near the sin. You know what? If something bad's going on, you're better off being able to say, I wasn't, you ought to be able to say to Dad, I wasn't even there. Instead of, I was there, but I didn't do it, Dad. My friends were doing wrong, and I was there, but I didn't do it. You know the best thing you could have done? Don't go. Don't be there. Why put yourself in a situation where your only right is you didn't do what everybody else was doing that was bad or wrong? You say, but I'm not guilty of the sin. You know, I'd rather you say I'm not guilty of being where the sin was taking place. If you don't want people to think that you're guilty of boozing it up, stay away from the bars. You say, I was in that bar drinking milk. Well, knucklehead, just so you know, everybody else in there was drinking Bud Dumber. You were the only one there drinking 2% milk. And you know, when you say to me, you're stumbling out of Joe's Bar and Grill and you got a white mustache, you say, I've been in there drinking one of the coolest big old mugs of milk you ever had. I'm liable to think you're lying to me. I'm liable to think you went into Joe's Bar and Grill who had to send out to get the milk to give it to you. I'm liable to think you were in there doing wrong. You say why? That's what everybody does at the bar. Oh, but will you have people say, well, I wasn't in there drinking. Then you dumb bunny, get out of the place that's built for drinking. If you don't want people to think you're a wife beater, then don't be rude to your wife all the time. You know, if you're rude to your wife all the time, then she opens a cupboard door and gives herself a black eye and comes to church, everybody's going to look at you and say, he's been beating her again. Or in this day and age, it's probably the man with a black eye. More hairy-legged women today than there are men. We've done a flip-flop. More I have to have men beat because the men are sissy and the women are masculine today. But it doesn't matter to me which one it is. If you don't want people to think you're a wife beater, then don't be so rude to her all the time because somebody's going to think you beat your wife. If you don't want people to think you're a rebel, don't be listening to rebel music. If you don't want people to think, hey, if you don't want people to think you're stealing at school, stay out of other people's lockers and purses. Say, yeah, I was in that locker, but I didn't steal anything. You know, everybody that's stealing out of lockers usually say, well, I just peeked in there. I didn't steal anything. So may I say, first of all, when you resist the sin, instead of avoid it, you're going to be misjudged, and you've placed yourself in a situation where you look guilty. And some of you, over and over again, place yourself in a situation where you look guilty. You say, everybody's picking on me. You're picking on yourself. People always misjudge me. You keep putting yourself in questionable situations. If there's something that makes the Christian life easier, it is stay away from the sin. The further away from it, the easier it is to say no to it. The closer you get to it, the harder it is on you. Point number two. Did you know, and that is my point, that's my second point, you know, it is easier to avoid sin than to resist the sin. When I say avoid, I'm talking about get as far away from it as you can. Don't do what Joseph did. Don't put yourself in the same house alone with that woman that's been trying to get you. Don't put yourself there. Avoid it. Why? It is easier. Don't let the devil lie to you. He wants you to believe you're strong enough to say no. Folks, don't lie to yourself. The devil wants you to say, well, I'm strong enough. I can put myself in all the bad situations I want because I'm strong enough to say no. You're not that strong. Nobody's that strong. Many of you plan to say no to sin face to face, but you're only strong enough to really avoid it. There are people, I watch them. Boy, they will leave the church service with a burning desire to say no to sin. Then they go home and find themselves right back in the sin, and I'll tell you why. You only have the strength to avoid it. You did not have the strength to say no to it right up close, and you just took yourself right up to the threshold of sin, and so you made the mistake. I have to explain something to you. Credit cards. My wife is one of my greatest weaknesses. I love giving my wife what she wants. She knows she has to be careful. We can be walking through the store and I might not give her what she knows she wants at the moment, but usually it's not long she has it. And I have to be careful with that because I don't have enough money to give her everything and she may not be asking for it. You know how women are. They're admiring it. She said, oh, that's nice. And in my heart, I'm thinking, boy, would I like for her to have that? Because I want to please her. I have to be very, very careful. You know something? That I did not have a credit card until I was 30 years of age. When I was 30, I got my doctorate. When I got my doctorate, I would not let myself have a credit card, and I would not let myself even have a cell phone until I was 30. You say, why? Man, it's just a decision I'd made. I was scared to death. I could not control a credit card. And some of you, you can't. You can't. Matter of fact, there are people in this room, if we took your credit card away from you today, you would say, I can't even live. No, you can live without a credit card if you wanted to. You say, what am I going to do? You'd have to take cash, money that you earned and saved, and use that to keep yourself alive. And I understand credit and business. I understand all that. I'm not so immature that I can't figure it all out. But you know what I have to do? If this thing called a credit card begins to get away from me, you know what I do? Mrs. Owens will tell you. I'll take our credit cards, put it in an envelope, put it in the drawer at home, and I'll say, we're not using the credit cards for the next 2 months because they're so far out of hand. And if the credit card's in my wallet where I can pull in anytime I want anywhere and buy anything I want, sometimes I can't resist. So you know what I do? To avoid misspending, I'll take the credit card, put it away, and I'll say, we're not opening it for 60 days. And she's watched me do this more than one time. I'll say, we're going to have to avoid having them with us at all because we are not strong enough to have the quick availability of that card and not misuse it. What am I doing? I'm not trying to resist the presence of the temptation. I've distanced myself from it. I've avoided it. There's some of you, you couldn't stay out of the top drawer in the envelope. You say, well, what am I going to do to get it under control? You take a pair of scissors, you whack it up, and you cancel it if you have to. Say, well, then I wouldn't have it. Yeah, that's pretty good avoiding. Did you know when I first got saved, I couldn't be around a bunch of my old friends. The guys that I used to talk bad with and do bad things with, when I first got saved, I realized something. When I got around those guys, I was too weak to stand my ground. You know what I ended up doing? I had to say to him, I remember saying to a good friend of mine who is Jamie, he's a tough guy, we were friends, and I remember one day saying to him, Jamie, I'm sorry, I just can't run around with you anymore. And he called me Big O. He said, Big O, he said, what's the problem? I said, when I'm with you, I tend to want to do what you're doing, and I'm not trying to preach to you, but you do things as a Christian I'm not supposed to do. And he said, well, I won't try to talk you into that. I said, you don't even have to try to talk me into that. I am too weak, and when I'm with you guys, I want to do what we used to do, and I'm not supposed to do that. I said, I apologize to you. I'm too weak to tell the lifestyle that you are living that I used to live. I'm too weak to tell it no. I need to retract myself from you. He said, Big O, whatever you need to do. And I did. I wasn't strong enough to say no to my old friends, so I had to avoid them altogether. And there are some of you, you've got friends, and you're doing things with them and around them that you should not do. And you ought to, you say, I don't want to be rude to them. You better stop being rude to God. And if you need to separate from them, and I didn't attack Jamie. I didn't attack him at all. I just said, it's me. I'm too weak. I go to motels and hotels when I preach around the country, and boy, they will spoil me rotten. I'll go into this hotel room, and they'll have, I like Reese cups. I like Heath bars. I like all sorts of things that are bad for you. I like cream puffs. I like anything that's flavored peanut butter. Not as much as Brother Elswick. He's going to turn into a Reese peanut butter cup. But I like all that stuff, and you know my friends across the country. I'll go preach for them, and I'll go to the hotel, and I mean, I've got mounds, piles of stuff. Boxes of snacks. I mean, what man can eat 10 bags of chips and 400 Reese cups in 2 days? Me, I can't. And I know all that's not good for me. So can I tell you what I often have to do? I'll walk in and I'll think, you know, I'll be done preaching tonight at 8. I'm going to be in my hotel room all the way till tomorrow night at the service. And I'm alone with all these Reese cups. I'm alone with all these Lay's potato chips and Pringles. I'm alone with this Dr. Pepper and Sprite. I'm alone with it. What am I going to do? It's like Potiphar's wife. It comes after me. It begins to seduce me. So you say, what do? I sometimes will take all that stuff and I'll go down to the desk and I'll say, I want you all to have this. If there's somebody else that's speaking with me, I'll gather it all up. And I'll take it and give it to the other speaker. I'll let him get seduced by the junk food. I'll take it sometimes and I'll wrap it up and I'll staple the lid. I'll take it and put it in the trunk of my car. That's not really far enough away because I've unstapled and unwrapped. But you say, what are you doing? I have to distance myself from it. Because I don't have the strength to say no to it. I've had people say to me, well, Brother Owens, it's easy for you because you're a good Christian. I'm a bad Christian. I'm not a good Christian. I have the same kind of weaknesses you do. Every man in here, the Bible teaches that we all are subject to the very same weaknesses. The difference is some people admit they're weak and they avoid the sin rather than getting right up against it where they can't say no. And you need to be honest with yourself and you need to say, I can't get close to that. I've got to distance myself from it. You know something? It is easier to say no to going to a friend's party than to say no to the beer that they offer you once you get there. It's easier to say no to going out to lunch or after work with the wrong kind of people than to say no when they light up that joint or they want to curse and tell dirty jokes once you get there. You would have been better off doing the easy thing, saying, nah, I can't go out with you guys, sorry, need to get home to the wife and kids, than to go out with them, watch them start partying, and watch them suck you into it because you don't have the courage to say, no, I don't do that. It's easier to say no to the bad crowd than to their critical tongue once you're with the crowd. It's easier to say no to going in a friend's car than it is to say no to the wrong kind of music once you're in the car. Very few people have the courage to say to someone they're riding with, I don't listen to that kind of music. So you say, what do? Don't get in the car in the first place. It's easier to say no to the pack of cigarettes that's still behind the counter at the store than to try to say no to it once you got the cigarette in your pocket or in your purse. It's easier to say no to a date with the wrong boy than to say no to his advances once he comes at you. It's easier to say no to a date with the wrong kind of a girl than it is to say no once your desires kick in and you're alone and you end up doing something you should not do. You know, your Christianity is easiest for the people that don't try to resist the sin. It's easiest for the people that try to distance themselves from it and avoid it altogether. Let me tell everybody here, it is easier to say no to the filthy playboy philosophy while there's a distance between you and it. Once you get yourself right on the threshold, you're not going to say no. What do? Run from it! Run from it! Run from it! There are people that think, I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist. And there are some separation issues that I teach people. People say, well, why do you do that? Because if I don't do that, I get too close to the wrong and I'm subject to fall. Do the easy thing. Avoid it. Don't try to just resist it. You say, I plan to say no. No to what? I don't want to be where I have to say no. You say, I say no all the time. Well, you listen to me. If you say no all the time, you're putting yourself in a situation constantly that you shouldn't be in. Why should you have to say no all the time? Why should you be saying no to somebody trying to get you drunk? And why should you say no to somebody trying to get you high? And why should you be saying no to somebody trying to have sex outside of marriage or having a fornicate? Why should you be saying no? Didn't you learn? Didn't that advancement come? And didn't you say, you know what? This is a bad situation. I'm not going to be in this situation. You want to protect yourself? Stop resisting the sin. Avoid it. So you don't have to be going around saying no. Unless somebody want to misrepresent this, you need to keep on saying no. But why is it that you have to say no over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? Don't you think that if you were not playing in sin's backyard, you wouldn't have to say no to what's going on in sin's backyard? And so, first of all, when you resist it instead of avoid it, others may think you did it. And I don't think it's fair that someone tried to find you guilty of something you did not do, but I also think it's not wise for you to put yourself in a bad situation. Secondly, it's easier to avoid than it is to resist. And thirdly, if you don't avoid sin, but you just resist it, did you know the next step is to commit it? The next step is to commit it. I think if Joseph had been in the identical situation one more time, he would have committed adultery with that woman. I believe that. Hey, don't think you can play tag with the devil and win. You won't. If you will avoid it, you won't find yourself needing to constantly resist it, which will keep you from committing it. Folks, the farther away from the leper you get, the safer you are in regard to leprosy. The more distance between you and the snake, the less apt you are to be poisoned by the bite. I don't think you ought to even take a whiff, a sip of the strychnine. And that all makes sense to some of you, but in your lifestyle spiritually, you're sipping, you're putting your nose up against the snake right at the border of its striking distance. You've got your 1-inch pole for protection against the leper. What are you thinking? Folks, I'm not trying to figure out how close to sin I can get. I'm trying to figure out how to be safe. See, avoiding puts you one step from sin. Let me show you. I'll get some help here. Let's see. Brother Young, why don't you come up here and help me for a second? Sorry, this is my dear, dear friend. You're going to be sin. This S stands for sin. If you'll hold that, you're sin. Mrs. Young, she's agreeing. She's agreeing. Okay, now, Brother Edwards, why don't you come up here? You're going to help me. And you're going to be a void. A stands for avoid. You hold that up there where everybody can see it. This is avoiding. That's sin. Now, resistance. Brother Smith, unwrap yourself from your wife over there and come up here. Sorry, Susan. You're going to be resistance. Now you hold that up there. There's the R. This is resistance. There's sin. There's avoiding. Now listen to me. Resistance puts you right by the sin. Let's have you come a little closer this way. Resistance puts you right by the sin. Brother Edward, you come over this way just a little bit. You say, I'm resisting, I'm not doing it. But you're right here. You're that close. Look, an avoider is a couple steps away. That's what you're looking for. That's the safe way of doing it. Did you know that if I'm avoiding and I stumble, do you know where I've stumbled to? I've stumbled to resistance. But wait, if all I do is try to resist and I stumble into what?
Sin.
We're different. When people talk about us being old-time fundamentalists, they say, well, you have some extremes in your separation. I'll tell you why. Because we love our people and we love you. And we know that if you live your life right here, you're going to touch on this far more often than what's good for you. So we say, how about you're extremely careful and rather than just resisting the wrong, you avoid the wrong. I think boys and girls running around in a car alone, all by themselves, unmonitored, is resistance. Say, well, we'd never do wrong. Bull. You'd be the exception. You're probably lying to somebody anyway. And if you're not, I apologize. But you just made yourself look guilty. Sorry. But do you know what? If you avoid the appearance of evil, you're less apt to be thought to do wrong. Just remember, avoiding puts you a couple steps away from the sin. Resisting puts you right up against it. And some of you need to understand. You say, I want the strength to do right. If you really want to do right, stop playing with temptation. Here's what some of you have. You've learned this about yourself. I think that you're sincere. I think there are people under the sound of my voice. You're very, very sincere. And you say, I don't want to do wrong. Then here's what you need to learn about yourself. You're not strong enough to resist. You're not. You say, the Christian life's too big for me. It's too much for me. Well, then do the easy part of the Christian life. You say, what's that? Avoid it. Avoid it. I've been working. I work on my weight from time to time. Far too often do I need to work on my weight. Well, I'm going to tell you. I love the smell of bread cooking. I am not. While I'm trying to guard my weight, I am going nowhere near a Subway sandwich place. Do you know how good their bread smells cooking? I am not going to go anywhere near Panera Bread. Their bread is fresh. Martha, what you did to me by bringing all those sandwiches. I can't go to Subway and have a salad. I can't resist. I want double meat and cheese. So you know what I have to do? I must avoid. You say, why? I'm too weak. I am too weak. Mrs. Owens and I, when we were dating before we got married, we did not go alone together in the car. You say, why? I would have had her. I would have done the wrong thing. I know it. And what'd you do? I avoided it. You say, I'm strong enough. Maybe we ought to show the video of what you've been doing while you're alone with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe we'll find out if you can. You may lie to yourself a little bit, and you may think you're going to fool somebody, but I got you, buddy. I know better than that. Better people than you did not stay pure because they put themselves in a resistance situation and rather an avoiding situation. Thank you, men. I'll take your paper. You did such a good job. Let me review and I'm done. People who will not avoid but resist, they're often said to be guilty. And I don't think it's fair that someone is found guilty of something they didn't do, but I also don't think it is wise for us to put ourselves in situations where someone might assume our guilt. Secondly, folks, it's easier to avoid. It's easier. I mean, if you're nowhere around it, you don't have to say no to it. Do the smart thing. Number three, if you do not avoid sin, but you resist it, you have to remember the very next step is to commit. You have yourself one step away from catastrophe. Put yourself a couple steps away, three steps away, four steps away. One of my favorite verses, I memorized this when I was a young man. I've always been a weak Christian. I've always been a weak person. I build things into my life to try to help keep myself out of trouble. I still make mistakes and sin and do wrong, but the avoiding has helped me considerably. A verse that I memorized when I was a younger Christian is 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Here, that verse says, He's going to make a way for me to escape the temptation. Hey, what's the best way to escape temptation? Avoid the temptation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Let me read a verse to you. Matthew 6, 13, it says this, "And lead us not into temptation." Huh. That's the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. What's it teaching us? Well, if resistance is temptation, and we're saying, I don't want to go into the temptation area, what's the recommendation?
Avoid.
Amen. When he said, lead us not into temptation, he said, help us to avoid the temptation so we don't have to resist the temptation, because if we don't fare well in our resistance, we are going to sin.
Right.
So, the title of the sermon is, Do Not Resist Sin. Avoid it. Avoid it. That is the safest way for Christians. If you say, I would like to succeed, tell you what you do. Get yourself as many steps away. Hey, and really, and so you all know, and I'll tell you this again, and I mean this, I love you. I'm trying to help you. Your sin is going to do nothing but mess you up. It's going to hurt you. It'll depress you. It'll take you for more than what you ever dreamed. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. You're going to wake up and say, what was I thinking? What was going on with me? Let me tell you right now, I am telling you a way to keep yourself safe. Nobody is a strong enough Christian to come up against sin that close and constantly say no. Nobody. Nobody. The greatest Christians I've ever met are the ones that live their life in the avoiding territory rather than the resisting territory. And so, for some of you, you won't like that because that's a thing called separation. I'm separating myself from what could destroy me. And you think, well, that separation, you're just trying to take fun away from me. We're trying to take danger away from you. And we're trying to take what could hurt you away from you. Because you will stumble. And when you say, not me, you're next. Because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I love Joseph. I think he was a great man and I'm glad that he resisted. I really do believe had he put himself in the identical situation again, he probably wouldn't have come through it well. Thank God he resisted. Been better had he not even been there. You say, can I always avoid? No, you'll find yourself in situations where you can't and you must resist. You'll find it, but it shouldn't be like that constantly. Some of you live in resistance, and that's why you make so many mistakes. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. You've heard the sermon. I'm not going to beg a response out of you. There's some of you, there are things that you're doing, you're way too up close to wrong. And hey, I don't get anything out of it. I'm just supposed to teach you and preach to you and give you the truth and try to love on you and keep you safe. I can't make you believe what I just taught, but I know it's as scriptural as it could be. If you need a moment with the Lord at the altar, you might need to say, you know what I need to do? I just need to talk to the Lord and tell him I gotta distance myself from some things because I'm not going to handle it right. If I get too close to that, if I get too close to this, I'm just going to do the wrong thing. Stop thinking you're so strong. Stop thinking you're so spiritually smart and wise and do the smart thing, and that is avoid sin's territory. And for some of you, you say, well, why do I keep on failing? Because you get way too close to the wrong. Distance yourself from the wrong. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me. I've got some things I just need to avoid. I've tried to resist, but I'm not doing real well. I need to avoid some things. Hey, and I thank God that you are resisting. I thank God for it. But I just warning you as your friend and as your pastor, you will not have the strength to resist. You have to avoid it. Some of you need to be honest with yourselves. Hey, maybe your access to your internet or your computer, maybe you just need to say, for now, I just need to shut it off. Yeah, I got to get away from it. I'm not going to do well. Somebody needs to take your credit card, put it in an envelope, stick it in the top drawer of your dresser and say, we're not touching it for the next month. You're going to destroy yourself financially. You know, I have to be careful with my temper. I'm a pretty feisty person. It comes out in my preaching. I'm glad I've got a devil to attack. It's best that I do. But let me tell you something. There are times when I don't deal with certain things immediately because I can't resist dicing somebody to shreds with my words. I get huffy and mean. So what do? I avoid the situation long enough to get myself under control. I know in the past, there were times I did not deal with my church staff eyeball to eyeball. You say, why? It wouldn't have been good. So I'd call them on the phone 3 days later after the episode and say, I want to talk to you for a second. That way they couldn't see the veins in my neck popping out because I was so irritated about the stupid thing that they did. What was I doing? I was avoiding a conflict that shouldn't have been in my life. My weakness. Had I put myself right up against it and tried to resist, I would have blown it. I would have lost my temper. I would have hurt somebody. Thank you, Mrs. Young. Remain standing.